is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Here we go with a deep dive into COVID-19 related topics. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us this afternoon. Want to start out by asking about the county report yesterday. Awfully large number there in terms of new positive tests, presumptives, et cetera.
Yes, we've had a very large number of cases over the last week. So some of our highest case counts that we've had at any time during the pandemic. And those cases are almost certainly undercounted, because we know there are people mildly ill who've chosen not to get tested. We know there are people who are doing home tests and not reporting positive results. So although the numbers are shockingly high, it probably is truly even higher than that.
Have we officially had a week where we've had more cases? I mean, like back during August or something like that?
This was just about our highest level ever.
Wow. 945 people with new positive test results, 104 more presumptive. That's over 1,000, almost 1,050 people, which is not that far from being like 1% of the entire population of the county.
And we think it's even more than that, because when we look at large employers and ask what percentage of their clients or what percentage of their workers are out with COVID-like illnesses, they're reporting anywhere between 5 and 20%. In fact, we had one school district that said 50% of their kids were out with a COVID-like illness, yet we'd only had a few positive tests. So we're sure that the numbers are even higher than that. So there is a tremendous amount of disease in the community this week.
And it seems as well, though not COVID-19, seems like some people have a cold hanging on. They don't test positive. They have a couple of the symptoms of COVID, but not all the others. And that's an issue playing into things as well.
Yes. So that clearly is an issue when there are people with other COVID-like illnesses. And depending on when you get tested, they may well have had COVID. So, for example, I saw a kid in the office last week who had COVID-like symptoms and never gotten tested. So I'm sure there's much, much, much more disease out there than we know.
So do we expect this to be the peak, or do you think we're going to be going higher in the next week?
So it's hard to predict the future, but when we've seen in the past, most places that have had the Omicron surge have peaked 3 to 5 weeks after their first cases, and then have fallen over the next 3 to 5 weeks. So we think we started around January the 4th, so that would make our peak somewhere this week or next, and then we would expect a similar fall through the month of February.
And are other parts of the state already beginning to come down in some cases?
Yes. When I look at the data from Multnomah County and Clackamas County and Deschutes County, which were three of the counties that had the highest rates first, it looks like they are just at the top or maybe slightly coming down.
And is there a potential for this to be sort of a seesaw up, down, or around the country? Do we see that once it begins to come down, it continues?
So what we've seen in the rest of the country is that once it starts to come down, it really does seem to come down. So at the top, there's sometimes a little fluctuation for a few days. But once it came down in New York, once it came down in D.C., once it came down in Florida, it really looks like it stays down.
So what about overall state data, looking just at the high levels? How's Douglas County fared versus the other counties in percentage of positive tests in the last week?
So we are, all places in the county have relatively high positivity rates. Our rates of disease have been a little lower than Oregon as a whole. So I think that's because we're a little more rural. I think we're going to peak a little later.
And looking at some of the data from yesterday, talk about the county vaccination rate, where things stand.
So there are three rates we look at. We look at the rate of adults who are fully vaccinated, and that's 60%. That's little lower than much of the rest of the state and country. It's going up a little bit each week, but it's still on the low side. The next thing we look at is the percentage of the entire population, which is vaccinated. That's about 50%. That gives us an idea that there's still a lot of people out there that are susceptible to disease. And then we look at the group of people who are boosted, and that's about adults who are boosted. That's about 40%. The people who are boosted do not seem to be getting very sick. So anecdotally, people have been boosted, talk about having a very mild illness. When we look at our hospitalizations, yesterday there were 31 in the hospital. 30 of the 31 were not boosted. Of the 40% of the population that was boosted, there was only one in the hospital. So again, it looks like the vaccines work, and especially work to prevent hospitalizations. And if you have a vaccine plus a booster, it really is strong protection.
As this has continued on, and you have the shifts of information and the shifts of what the virus is doing and all of that, I'm aware of a number of people who, after their second dose, kind of said, "Okay, I'm done," and haven't gotten boosted. Are you seeing that fairly often?
We're certainly seeing some. Right, only 2/3 of those who've gotten fully vaccinated have been boosted. And most are eligible. So we're seeing a little bit of vaccine fatigue, but the data is so very strong that a boost, especially if you got your first dose more than 6 months ago, really can help you fight this off.
Now, what do you see down the road? Do you see the potential for a fourth dose or a reconfiguring of these vaccines?
Yeah, so I think we worry about the change in vaccines and the decline in booster. I think we do not know specifically, but I think it's probably likely that we'll have a yearly booster shot against COVID like we have a yearly booster shot against the flu.
And do you think that will be done separately or combined with a flu shot?
Usually it'll be done separately because it's always complicated to mix vaccines. So likely will be done separately, but it would just be two shots rather than one. So you go in and you would go in each fall to get a flu booster and a COVID booster.
Now, one of the resources that has been out there for a few weeks is the Oregon Health Authority doing a clinic over by the Roseburg Public Library. Is that going to continue beyond the end of the month?
That's going to keep going through February. In addition, there is going to be a similar site in Reedsport starting on Saturday, going through the 23rd of February.
And so will the Reedsport site be operating 7 days a week like the one in Roseburg?
We're told 7 days a week, and there are also going to be vaccines and testing.
Now, I haven't checked this week, but I know a week or so ago that getting a test that you would do at home has been hard to get. Is that still an issue?
So home tests are still not nearly as plentiful as I would like, but they are certainly becoming more plentiful. And there's three ways to go ahead and get them. So some of the stores which had them initially and then were out, they now have them back in stock. So if you're looking for home tests, you may be able to find them at one of the local drugstores. In addition, the feds have home tests that you can sign up for on a very easy site. So I did it last Tuesday with a bunch of other people at DPHN, and they've already gotten their tests. So in a week, they arrived at the door, 4 tests per household. The third way is the state is going to be distributing 15,000 of these home tests to Douglas County, and we're going to be distributing them through various ways, including rural fire stations and through Meals on Wheels.
And talk about the difference between the home test versus if you go to your medical provider or possibly this Oregon Health Authority clinic by the library.
So the tests that you do at home are called lateral flow tests. They're kind of like the tests we've used in the past for flu or strep. They're relatively quick. They're pretty darn accurate, and they're inexpensive, usually give you results between 15 and 30 minutes. And so those are the kind of tests called antigen tests. Most of the doctor's offices are also using the antigen tests, and pretty much the same ones that you would use at home. They have slightly different characteristics, but not all that different. The other kind of test you can get is a PCR test. A PCR test actually looks at the genetic material. It's an incredibly accurate test and is really the gold standard. The problem is it needs to be sent away to a lab that's doing them. And what we're seeing now on these PCR tests is that they're taking 2, 5, and even sometimes 7 days to get results.
And obviously, if you're wondering if you are positive, you would like to know as soon as possible and sort of plan your life out knowing which way to go.
Right. So I think if people want to know if they're positive, we would suggest one of the antigen tests, which either can be done at the doctor's office or can be done through one of the home tests. Now, one of the things we're asking people to do, though, is not to go to the doctor's office. If you're mildly ill, don't go there because it just is going to slow down the offices and it's going to expose the people working there.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. More in a moment on Inside Douglas County, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 Inside Douglas County and News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249. Lars Larson coming at 1. KQEN Local Talk at 4. It's your cue. Shannon Sebastian this afternoon, presented by Premier Insurance. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, City of Roseburg Manager Nikki Messenger will be in. We'll talk about the new Navigation Center, some of the things the City Council is working on and adopted Monday night. We'll talk about what is planned there on tomorrow's program. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. Wanted to insert a question I got this morning as we were going through the county report in one of the news segments. And that was one of the delayed deaths reported was someone who had passed away and then was tested post-mortem. And people, somebody asked me about that. I'm curious how common that is or what leads to testing somebody post-mortem.
So about a dozen times during this pandemic, we've had somebody who dies unexpectedly at home or dies following a COVID-like illness. So one of the cases I remember quite well, there was a woman who was diagnosed with COVID and her housemate then died there and was positive. So that would be a COVID-related death. So they do not swab every death, but when there's a death that sounds like it was likely due to COVID, that is somebody had a COVID-like illness, then they do swab them and those are reported after death. So as I say, there's maybe a dozen or so of those in the pandemic out of the 345 total deaths.
And talk about the number of deaths in the county. When you look at that number, that's a bit ominous to think about.
Well, it is ominous. So we're still seeing a high number of deaths, not just in Douglas County, but in the country. We're seeing 2,000 deaths a day. I mean, that's a lot of deaths. I mean, when you think about how many deaths we see from murders or from suicide or from car accidents, the numbers are in the 30 to 50,000 a year. We're seeing 2,000 a day from COVID. So still a very deadly pandemic, although Omicron is overall less serious, still really quite deadly.
What about the national picture right now? How are other states doing with COVID-19 cases?
Well, the states that got it first, so New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Washington, D.C., and Florida, are now seeing a declining number of cases. They saw a moderate number of deaths and a high number of hospitalizations, but their number of cases is coming down, again, kind of like we predicted, 3 to 5 weeks after the start. Now, many of those areas started in December, so they peak then in the mid part of January. Again, we start a little later, so we would expect to peak later. And they're doing better. The people who are hospitalized for Omicron tend to be hospitalized for a shorter period of time. With Delta, we had a lot of people who were on ventilators or ECMO for weeks and months. We're not seeing that with Omicron. So we think that hospitalizations will come down, not as quickly as cases, but that hospitalizations will come down also in February.
Yeah, and that seems like it's kind of a lagging indicator of exactly what's going on.
Right, so hospitalizations lag cases by a week or two. Deaths lag cases by 2 to 3 weeks.
What about around the world? I know there's been some concern about a number of nations lately. Some don't have anywhere near the resources or healthcare system that we have here.
So we're very worried about what we're seeing in Africa. So there's a lot of places in Africa that are having a lot of disease at this point, and Africa is really not well set up to handle those. We're also starting to see an increased number of cases in India and the Philippines, two areas that have not had a lot of cases previously. And then we're worried about China. As we know, the Olympics are, Winter Olympics are starting in the next few weeks. And we know as people congregate from around the world that you could have an outbreak. Now, China's had a very low number of cases during the entire pandemic. And we're worried that they're not, they don't have high levels of immunity should there be another new outbreak or influx of Omicron.
What about new things that are being learned about the disease and maybe in particular, I'm not even sure the right term, either another variant or a subvariant out there?
Yeah, so there is a subvariant of Omicron. So Omicron is the BA1 strain. There's a BA2 strain, which is an offshoot of Omicron. And it's got some other worrisome mutations. It does actually seem to be able to outcompete Omicron in some areas. So in Norway and Denmark, the majority of the cases are now from the BA2. Not really seen a lot of it yet in the U.S. Hard to know what it's going to mean. It's close enough to Omicron that previous infection with Omicron will give you protection against this BA2. But we're going to continue to see new variants. I am certain that we've not seen our last variant.
One of the terms I've been hearing more lately is endemic in relation to where this may ultimately go. Explain what that means.
So when a disease is endemic, and there are thousands of diseases which are endemic, they are in a population at a low level that's not causing any kind of public health emergency or strain on the resources. So we have strep throat all the time. And there's always a few cases of strep going around. We see diseases like chickenpox going around. Again, not very many cases. It's not straining the system, not causing a lot of deaths. And those would be diseases we would consider to be endemic. And so we hope to get there with coronavirus and with COVID, but we're not close to being there yet. At 2,000 deaths a day, there are more deaths from COVID than all of the other endemic diseases combined. And so we really need to get down to a much lower level of disease before we would consider COVID to be endemic. So we're thinking if we got down to a case rate in Douglas County of 5 or 10 with less than 5 hospitalizations, then we would treat it like the many other endemic diseases we have, which is not to mean that we ignore it. We obviously treat strep throat. We obviously treat E. coli infections. We obviously treat other kinds of things, but we don't have to have a big public health response for strep throat.
So is there any timeline that we might get to that point?
So we would consider the disease to be endemic when, again, we were 5 or 10 cases a day and we had very few hospitalizations and no strain on the system. Most optimistically, this could happen by the springtime. But in the past, when people have made these optimistic projections, a new and nasty variant has come up. So we're a little cautious about making those predictions. But yeah, we really hope to get to the point where you and I don't have to meet once a week to talk about COVID, where we could talk about some of the other important public health things that we're working on.
Given the large number of cases for folks right now, what do you recommend when it comes to things like indoor events or going to sporting events, concerts, if you're vaccinated and boosted?
Well, if you're vaccinated and boosted, you're obviously much safer than if you're not. But still, there's a lot of disease going around. So I would recommend that people avoid indoor gatherings. I would recommend that if they feel the least bit sick, that they stay home and certainly get vaccinated. It's a time where there's a lot of disease around. So if there's something that could be delayed a week or two, I would go ahead and do that. So a dear friend of mine was retiring and was having a retirement party. We're going to hold off and see them again in the springtime when the disease is much less.
And again, remind folks about the clinic by the library and when that's going on.
So that clinic is in the Fowler Street lot, which is across from the Roseburg Public Library. It's there every day from 10 until 5. And there you can get either your first, second, third, or booster shots of vaccine, or you can go ahead and get tested.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on again.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 News Radio 1240 KQEN.
been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.